Good day, old chaps, and welcome to the weekly news podcast, Boiled Down Brevard. We take the news, boil it down, make it easy to understand, make fun of it, yada, yada, yada. Rob gives me funny looks, and I am here, that being said, with Rob Landers, the man, the myth, the legend behind most of our TV production, Rob.
Hey, guys. How's everything? I can't get an answer from you because, you know, it's a podcast. But anyway, if you have not yet done so, please click subscribe in iTunes or in the Google Play Store so that you never miss an episode of Boiled Down Brevard. And also, you can find us on the Stitcher Radio app. Thank you so much for listening.
But we come out every Thursday. If you want more of this, we have a daily news column every single solitary day.
That's what daily means.
That's what daily means. And you can get it so easily just by downloading the Florida Today app. We'll send you a little notification every day. Or you can just go online. It's on the homepage every single day. It's labeled Boiled Down Brevard, so you should be able to find it pretty easy. So, hey, Rob.
Nice how that all ties in together, the whole Boiled Down Brevard podcast and the Boiled Down Brevard daily column. And
I know. Yeah. That's why we have labels. It's amazing. Right? It's remarkable. Anyway, so Rob had something to sing for us.
Ooh, that smell. Ooh.
Ooh, ew.
Maybe I should have done, oh, that smell. Now I sounded like my friend Walter.
So I hope all of you living along the Indian and Banana Rivers have invested in a gas mask because it is stinky.
Okay, seriously, we were driving over the causeway, the Pineda Causeway the other day, and I literally thought somebody had passed gas inside the car. It was that bad.
Ugh, bless you.
It was gross.
So Brevard has been doing the stinky leg for the last week or so. There's a giant fish kill in the lagoon, and it's raining death on our senses of smell. So here's what's up with that. Basically, remember that brown tide stuff we've been talking about for weeks? Mm-hmm. It's this icky algae that forms because of runoff in the Indian River Lagoon. Runoff equals sewage and fertilizer equals smelly mess. With all the lovely spring flowers, our algae is also blooming. However, when this algae blooms, it kills fish and it's gross and it's stinking up the whole county. There's hundreds of dead fish. You know, more than a dozen species that's been killed, horseshoe crabs, everybody's trying to get out of there.
But there's no oxygen in the water. The blooms are sucking up all the oxygen, and it's just, there's two different blooms going on. Dwayne DeFries, who is the executive director of the Indian River Lagoon National Estuary Program, was actually in the studio this morning to talk to Matt Reed for next week's episode of the Matt Reed Show about what's kind of going on in the lagoon. And there is, not only is there a brown tide, which is this nasty brown algae that's blooming out in the lagoon, but there underneath that is a green algae bloom, which is just as bad, if not worse. And it's sucking all the oxygen out. When there's no oxygen in the water, the fish can't breathe, and they all kind of float to the top. And then you have floaters kind of like, you know, instead of having one that you have a funeral for over your toilet where you, after you've taken it out of your fish tank and kind of dropped it in, you've got thousands of fish floating in the Indian River Lagoon.
So we've got a green tide and a brown tide? Cool, all the colors of the
rainbow. A green algae bloom and a brown algae bloom.
Oh, yes. Fun.
And he also said some other kind of bacteria that was out there, and it's Oreo something. He made a reference
to
Oreo cookies. Yeah, I know. I was like, oh,
but they're in Mexico now. We can't talk about
Oreos. That. Ooh, how can something so delicious cause so many problems to the Indian River Lagoon? Mm. But here we are. So he did offer some good examples of things that people can do to kind of help the lagoon just in the future and in general. It's not like, you know, they want anybody racing out and collecting fish to take to them for testing. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Please don't show up on anybody's doorstep with fish from the Indian River Lagoon saying, hey, test these. Actually, if you decide that you're going to pick up fish, the county is placing dumpsters so that you can take the fish and put them there, and they'll collect the fish out of those dumpsters every day. Now, I don't know whether you have ever been, you know, near a dumpster outside of a, you know, seafood market or not, or have, you know, had, oh, I don't know, say shrimp heads or whatever in a trash can for a day or so. But there is nothing more appetizing than the smell coming from dead, rotting fish sitting in a metal box baking in the Florida sun. Mmm. Mm,
that smell.
Yeah. So anyway, but Dwayne did offer some suggestions. So, and some of these things are pretty obvious to people who've lived here a long time. You've probably heard these things before, but you know, it is Florida. It is a changeover kind of population. And so sometimes it's always good to put these things out as reminders and as new information for new residents. So clean up your yard. Don't let your lawn clippings go down the storm drains. Don't let the leaves that fall off your trees go down the storm drain. I am a very, very big, I'm guilty of this, just kind of letting them flow. And I will be going home this afternoon and cleaning all of that up because I, as much as I've heard it, it didn't dawn on me today until I realized, oh, hey, you're part of the problem. And you know, the storm drains that are at the end of your street, if you see debris of any kind, branches, trash, anything like that, clean it out. Be a good citizen and clean that stuff out, because eventually all of that's just going to go into the lagoon anyway, and that continues to add to the problem because you have all of this vegetation that washes out in the lagoon, settles to the bottom, and rots, and it's just not a great thing. Ease up on the fertilizer during the rainy season. This year was a little different because the rainy season came early, so you know, the November fertilizer ban lifted. Everybody goes, oh, it's time to fertilize. Go out and fertilize, and then December and January we had, you know, record rainfall. And this was an interesting tip that was shared out by one of our millennial buddies, Alex Redloff. The gutters on your house, turn those so that they're not draining out onto like your driveway. Turn them so they're draining out like onto your lawn, so that that water is actually filtering down through the ground rather than running down and overwhelming the stormwater drainage thing.
What's interesting about this is that most people know that there is a problem in the Indian River Lagoon, but they don't think that they can do anything to help it. Well, we just gave you a bunch of things you can do to try and offset this issue. The Indian River Lagoon is really sick. You know, we've got to band together and do something about it, make sure that we're doing our part every day.
Well, and I'm really glad you said that, because Dwayne DeFree said that one of the biggest things that he's noticing that's really disheartening is that people are kind of giving up. Mm-hmm. The Indian River Lagoon is dead. They're giving up. And he says the Indian River Lagoon is not dead. It is not dying. But it does have chronic illnesses that we have to address, and we have to address them now. If we're happy with the lagoon the way it is, let's do nothing. And it will be as it is, and we'll continue to have fish kills, and we'll continue to have problems. But if we want it fixed and we want better, you know, quality of life around the lagoon, in and around the lagoon, and better water quality, then we've got to start making some changes now. And there's a lot of changes that have to be made. And he said, you know, there's not really a silver bullet. When we talked about the brown tide before, I made a reference to the septic tanks, and Dwayne mentioned the septic tanks this morning. He was talking about the septic tanks. He was talking about stormwater runoff. He was talking about all of these different things: agricultural runoff, the fertilizer runoff, and it's all of those things combined that are causing the problem. It's not just one thing. So we all have things that we have to do to change to help save the lagoon. So
right, and please let me add this, that we all live along this lagoon. Tourists come here because of how beautiful it is here. So you have to remember that the Indian River Lagoon is more than just an environmentalist thing. This has to do with tourism, business, our economy as a whole. So make sure that you guys are helping out and doing what you can.
Added to that, it's not just a barrier island issue. It's not just a right along the river issue. If you are in Barefoot Bay, if you're in Palm Bay, if you're in Satellite Beach, if you're in West Melbourne, if you're in Melbourne Village, if you're in Mims, this is still an issue that you need to be aware of, because all of those canals that are keeping your street from flooding out in West Palm Bay all flow somewhere. And they all flow into either the St. John's River or the Indian River. And so if you're not actively trying to stop fertilizer from running into the canal behind your house or that drainage ditch behind your house, then you're actually contributing to the problem, even if you don't live right on the water.
Right. And you know, speaking of runoff, but this is a little bit more fun than what we've been talking
right?
about. This is kind of a downer subject, but something a little bit more fun, as there was beer running off of I-95 yesterday.
And chips.
It was maybe the best crash ever on 95. Nobody was hurt, so let's preface it with that.
So there's that.
That's
a bonus.
But Here's what happened. A Busch beer truck is chugging along on 95 and swerves out of a lane to avoid hitting a car he doesn't see. Meanwhile, a Frito-Lay truck is on the side of the road. He's parked for some whatever reason. The Busch beer rams into Frito-Lay and beer and chips fly everywhere.
I-95 block party, hey!
Yeah, seriously. Whoop, whoop. Come on, ride the train. The only downside was the beer and the hot sun stunk up the whole area.
Well,
it was
then
really
all
stinky.
The more reason for the people who were in the traffic jam that was on 95 because all three lanes of traffic were closed, all the more reason for them to, well, I don't want to say that because then they would have gotten back in their cars and they would have been drinking, but I would have said, you know,
yeah, it's
help
all good.
Take some of the beer, but you know, you don't want to talk.
But you know, it's spring break and you can just party along 95 this week. So.
Right? Oh, the beer's going to go bad if it stays out in the sun? Okay, well, I'll take a couple six packs home. You know,
yeah, how many,
I got a cooler in the back.
Right. How many,
and how many bags of those chips you going to give me, brah?
We have enough frat boys vacationing in our county right now to take
right?
care of this
a
problem.
Frito-Lay
like an hour.
Truck, hey, you got any of those chicken and waffles chips or any
Ooh.
Of those Gouda, smoked Gouda and chive
oh
chips?
Oh my gosh, those chicken and waffles. I can't even find those anywhere.
I know.
Fave.
Yeah, so my trainer Ayana and I were talking about this at the gym yesterday and it was like, why are we here? There's a block party happening on I-95 right now. She was like, because I'm your trainer.
Because so. No.
Right.
So the beer truck driver got a ticket, but that's pretty much, that's it. That's,
yeah.
That's all she wrote.
Well,
so.
And it's a fantastic story to tell later. So speaking of fantastic stories, houses in Brevard are way more expensive these days, but less homes are actually selling. But the number of closed home sales fell 2.4% compared to a year prior. But the median home price rose 18% up to $165,000. So you're probably thinking that all of this is bad news, right?
Yeah, but no.
But
no.
Wait, there's
but
more.
Wait.
You are wrong if you think that is bad news. Okay, so all of this is echoing this national trend, and this drop is very likely due to the decline in what the people in the know call distressed property sales. All right, distressed property sales are like short sales and foreclosures. So it's almost like we're working through all of the bad juju, all of those houses that were all foreclosed on and just been sitting there. Yeah, have kind of, to use a word from the Indian River Lagoon, all of the bad properties from, you know, the past decade or so have kind of flushed out of the system. And so, yeah, and traditional single-family homes were up 9.7%. Now, business reporter Wayne Price breaks it down like this. Locally, the underlying storyline hasn't changed for several months. Tight inventories are keeping the prices a bit higher, and that continues to make this a seller's market. Now, what this means for you is if you own a home and you were thinking about selling, now's a really good time.
Jump on it. Jump on it, which is great because I'm getting some equity.
That's
fantastic.
Right.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So more good news for somebody, but not for me. We've got to start playing the lottery, man.
We do.
Seriously,
apparently,
we have got to start.
Apparently, the lottery vortex jackpot swirls
is right
Brevard
here.
County.
Yeah, I know. It blows my mind. But there's yet another Brevard County resident who has won the lottery. This time, it was a Mega Millions ticket purchased at a gas station, literally walking distance from my house. I'm not bitter about that. Paul Reynolds of Titusville scored a $5 million prize. Why do I never know these people? I never know these winners.
Especially this guy who's, you know, buying tickets and walking distance.
I know. So Paul, why are we not friends? I mean, everyone in Titusville is supposed to know everyone else, right? So I don't know Paul. So Paul, call me.
All four
Let's
of you.
Hang out. Yeah, so... So this is definitely a Brevard thing. We've had so many winners. Earlier this month, a winning Fantasy 5 ticket was sold in Merritt Island. Prior to that, the big Kahuna Powerball winner was in Melbourne Beach.
Winners.
There's two. There are a couple, though. Another Fantasy 5 winner from Coco claimed a hefty prize. Oh, and apparently this is the place to play Fantasy 5 because another winner was from Cocoa Beach. All of these wins have happened in the last 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
So recently.
I know. We should be playing.
So we're, after this podcast is over,
you gotta play to win. That's all. You gotta play to win.
You gotta play to win, man.
Yeah. Okay, so if you didn't know, this weekend is Easter, and in Brevard County, when it's Easter, that means it's time for the three-day Easter Surfing Festival, and the festival will kick off Friday at Lori Wilson Park in Cocoa Beach. The event begins at 7 a.m. and will feature both male and female surfers ages 12 to 40 plus. Plus?
I think that's what they said.
Also, there will be surfing dogs.
What? Say yes. It one more time.
Let me say that one more time. This is not a warning. This is not a drill.
One more time.
There will be surfing dogs.
Wait, one more time. One more time. Together.
Surfing dogs. Yes. Right. So the 52nd annual Easter Surf Festival begins around 8 a.m. each day. Now, why did I just say 7 a.m.? Okay, so anyway, the 52nd annual Easter Surf Festival events mm-hmm. will begin around 8 a.m. each day. Okay, so if you need plans for an Easter service, you know, if you're going out to the beach for the festival and you need to be excited because he's alive.
Easter.
He's alive. Hallelujah. We're not supposed to say that yet because he hasn't risen yet because it's not actually until Easter. Right, but anyway, there will be a sunrise service hosted by Calvary Chapel Merritt Island, and that will take place at 6:30 a.m. I'm assuming that's Sunday morning because that's actually Easter. So you can go and do the sunrise service, then stick around and watch some surfing events, and yeah, it should be a good time.
Yeah, should be a good time. Sounds like a blast.
Yeah. So I think that's going to do it for us today.
Yeah, that's it. That's
remember, all of the stories that Jessica and I were just talking about can be found inside the pages of Florida Today on floridatoday.com and on the Florida Today mobile and tablet apps. Now, you can follow Jessica on Twitter and Instagram at Jessica J. Saggio. That's JessicaJSaggio. Or you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at ByRobLanders. That's ByRobLanders. I believe that's going to do it for this week on Boiled Down Brevard. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And you know what? If you like what we're doing, go into the iTunes store and give us that 5-star rating. It helps people find us a lot easier.
Do it.
I think that's going to do it.
Yeah, so happy Easter. We come out every Thursday, so we'll see you back here next Thursday.
No, they won't see us.
No, they won't see us.
But you'll hear us.
You'll hear us.
You'll always hear Jessica coming. Anyway, all right, thanks, everybody, and we'll be here next Thursday.
Bye.
Bye.